Elizabeth Elliot says that God knows the end from the beginning. He loves us, He is wise, He's powerful, and He calls us to put our faith in Him, to set our feet on that rock which will never move. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Secure in the Everlasting Arms and God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you put your faith in the solid rock, study the unchanging word with us today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about a sovereign God and the mystery of pain. I've been telling you the story of Amy Carmichael. I do most earnestly hope that many of you are going to be interested enough to go out and get Amy Carmichael's books. Any Christian bookstore, if they don't have them, they certainly ought to have them, but they should be willing to order them for you. One of her books I've quoted from in some of these programs, it's called If. And one of those ifs is this: if I make much of anything appointed, magnify it secretly to myself, or insidiously to others, then I know nothing of Calvary love. I suppose if Amy Carmichael were speaking in modern lingo, she would say, if I make a big deal out of my troubles, then I know nothing of Calvary love. But she saw her troubles as things appointed, not because God, who is love, gives illness, not because He likes illness, but because suffering, for mysterious reasons that God has not fully explained to us, is necessary for the tempering of the steel, the growth of the soul, the refining of our faith. One of the most painful things that Amy ever went through was not the accident that put her in her room for the rest of her life, but it was difficulties with trusted workers. There was one year when she had an experience that she called Adria. She was likening it to the voyage of the Apostle Paul to Rome in Acts 27, where he wrote that they were driven up and down in Adria, even to the point of desperation, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. She said, where the will of God and the will of the flesh are in conflict, there will be rough water. And if the flesh does not yield to the Spirit, there must follow the painful breaking up of hopes and expectations, even as the timbers of that ship were broken up with the violence of the waves. The flesh, in this case, referred to two trusted workers who had to be dismissed, for deception and disobedience continued over a long period of time. The peremptory manner in which they were dismissed was anything but delicate, and some objected. Some of those were asked to leave, some of them left voluntarily. There was misunderstanding in correspondence to other parts of the world, and this resulted in deep wounds to the ones who were disciplined and those who had to administer the discipline. This was what Amy called a crashing sorrow, for it undid the work of years. Our white donavour is being besmirched, she said, but declared that she would rather be deceived 100 times than distrust and misjudge once. She refused to publish abroad her side of the matter, and she left her vindication in the hands of God. To me, that is one of the most difficult things that I am trying to learn myself. I always want to defend myself. I want to be known as having been the one right. I want to preserve my reputation. And there are times when our lips must be sealed, when we have to leave our vindication entirely in the hands of God. Perhaps I'm talking to someone in a similar situation. Are you willing to trust Him to bring forth your judgment as the light and your righteousness as the noonday, as the psalmist says? Are you willing to go on under misunderstanding and misjudgment? Well, Amy's illness was such that hopes were raised and dashed and raised and dashed alternately. She was in constant touch with the family, the Donavur family, which numbered as many as 700 children. She would give them birthday notes and birthday presents. Most of them didn't have birthdays because usually when these children came as babies, nobody knew exactly when they were born, and so they would celebrate their coming day, the day that they arrived in Donavur. She would write coming day notes. The children would be brought into her room on their coming day, decked with flowers and bringing flowers for Amy, and then each would be allowed to go to a little cupboard that she had there and choose for herself a small gift. These gifts were very simple. I've seen that cupboard, and I think to this day they give the same sorts of things. Just a little picture card, maybe cut from an old Christmas card, and a little sliver of scented soap. Amy had half-hour interviews all day, almost every day. People came for prayer, for counsel. The leaders came to discuss plans and difficulties. She was writing, writing, writing. She was also praying. She said she felt like a slug on a cabbage leaf, and she longed that the Lord would either heal her completely or take her home, out of the way, where she wouldn't be a burden to other people. A lady once visited Donavur who confided to Amy that she had some sort of a heart condition that the doctor told her was so serious that if she were to even bend over too quickly and stand up too suddenly, she could die. Amy's response to that was, "My dear, however do you resist the temptation?" A doctor once told her that she had perhaps not more than 5 years. She said to him, "You would not have said such a blissful thing lightly. I know he might even now ask for longer than that 5 years, but that there is even a natural hope of that little while being enough is purest golden joy. Only pray that he will take from me all slothfulness, and that I may fill up the crevices of time and truly finish all he wants me to do." Between October 31st of 1938 and March of 1939, it was recorded that she had only 8 nights of undrugged sleep. The affliction of sleeplessness is certainly a difficult one, I'm sure. I've never been afflicted with it for any serious length of time, but I'm sure that there are some listening today who may be plagued by that. Amy Carmichael knew exactly what that was like, and you might find her book, Rose from Briar, helpful. It's a book written by the ill, when Amy Carmichael was ill herself, for the ill. She tried to retire from the work of the Donavur Fellowship. She was really not permitted to do so. As long as she was there in her room, people still regarded her as the titular head, at least, of the work. One worker said that she was really kept on ice, even though she did her very best to turn it over to other people. Another of her books that I would love to recommend to you is a daily devotional book, which was compiled from some of her notes to the family after she died. Compiled, I should say, after she died, from some of the notes that she had written to the family. The selection for July 13th is this. Dr. F. B. Meyer once told me that when he was young, he was very irritable, and an old man told him that he had found relief from this very thing by looking up the moment he felt it coming and saying, "Thy sweetness, Lord." By telling this, that old man greatly helped Dr. Meyer, and he told it to tens of thousands. I pass it on to you because I have found it a certain and a quick way of escape. Take the opposite of your temptation and look up inwardly, naming that opposite. Untruth, thy truth, Lord. Unkindness, thy kindness, Lord. Impatience, thy patience, Lord. Selfishness, thy unselfishness, Lord. Roughness, thy gentleness, Lord. Discourtesy, thy courtesy, Lord. Resentment, inward heat, fuss. Thy sweetness, Lord, thy calmness, thy peacefulness. Some of you work in offices with difficult people. Here's a word for you. When you're treated unkindly, discourteously, or with impatience, just look up in that very moment when you feel a nasty response coming on and say, Your kindness, Lord, your patience, Lord, your courtesy, Lord. Amy says, I think that no one who tries this very simple plan will ever give it up. It takes for granted, of course, that all is yielded to him, and the I, that's capital I, is dethroned. Will all to whom it is new try it for a day, a week, a month, and test it? There's no question but what in that very trying period of 20 years of pain and helplessness and isolation from her family, Amy had to pray those prayers many, many times. She wrote, A work which is founded on anyone on earth is like the house that was built on the sand. When the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, it fell, and great was the fall of it. The only foundation that will stand through the floods is the eternal rock. Sooner or later, every work is searched and tested and tried as by rain and the vehement beating of floods and winds. Her heart's desire was that the thought of all might be forever fixed on the eternal, not on the human, not on her, but on Jesus Christ, the rock, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.